Every Saturday, we'll get you some help, like from ASE Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Hi, Dan. Good morning. Good to hear from you again.
Well, thank you, Denny. It's good to hear from you, too.
It's been a while, and it's very hard to believe. I think the last time we were in studio together, was it March? February or March?
Yeah, almost a year. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, it is. It is crazy. However,
how do you look? Have you changed at all?
No, but I never thought I'd be a thing. I was telling my son Tony, you know, how often have you said, "Well, I'm going to run to the grocery store," and you're in sweatpants and a hoodie, and you couldn't wait to get home to a more comfortable pair of sweatpants and a hoodie.
Yeah,
Have changed, but yes, things are okay. Life is good, but it's still kind of scary out there, and we are expecting some snow, as you heard Al mention. So I would imagine you and your troops there at Lloyd's may be doing a little plowing by tomorrow sometime before
Monday
comes.
Yeah, that's one of the downsides of this is, you know, I'm a snow lover, as you know, Denny, because
yes.
I love to ski, but that's in Colorado. In Minnesota, when it snows, for me, it's a lot of work because we have to deal with all the cars that are here, brush them off, and move them around and plow all the snow. And so for me, it's a very big job every time it snows. And, you know, it's extra work for everybody because we have to come in after hours and take care of it all, and the whole team shows up. So it's a big job.
Well, your job, as you know, every Saturday here on CCO, thanks to Nick for helping out too, is to help our listeners. If you have any kind of a car, truck, van problem, question, and we are already getting some text messages, but if you want to call in your question for Dan, by all means, it's the same number, 651-989-9226. Here's one that came in early this morning, Dan, and then we'll pick up on some we missed last week. The texter says they're looking to buy a used truck to pull the boat. Every truck this texter has seen has major miles for a premium price. And the question is, are truck engines that good to warrant premium prices? Never had that question before.
Well, that's actually a very good question because I have found in my experience that trucks do maintain a premium price. And they're expensive, and they're high dollar, and quite honestly, some of them are, you know, have rust and things going on, and they're still asking a lot of money for them, and they're getting it. So, makes me wonder if a new truck is a good idea and a good value, because boy, they sure hold their value compared with other vehicles. So. I'm not surprised by that question at all, that they're shocked at how premium the prices are on used trucks, because I have found that too.
Interesting question. Thank you for that. And keep in mind that Dan's going to be with us for just about another half hour. So if you have a car care question, don't wait. We don't want to run out of time. We'd like to help you out either by phone or by text. 651-989-9226. All right, let's grab another text here. It says, hi, I have a 2017 GMC crew cab, 42,000 miles, and I've noticed that when slowing down to stop, it makes a clunk noise in the transmission, which seems like it's dropping a gear, but it's quite loud. Is there a recall on this? I've heard it's been an issue for certain year makes of GM. I know I have a 100,000-mile warranty, but I hear the new pickups is only a 60,000-mile warranty. That text. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about the service bulletin or the recall on that. I don't have access to that stuff right on, you know, in front of me. It could be, and it also could be that a loud, pretty significant clunk is not coming from the transmission, too. So I think that's the other thing that I would explore is it something else that's making that clunk when the transmission is downshifting, because there's an awful lot involved, an awful lot going on in the drivetrain that could also be causing that clunk. But that could very well be that is a known problem on the transmission, and that there is a recall form or at least a service bulletin that includes a repair for the process, and sometimes that means replacing the transmission. But that certainly would be worth doing some research on process, and sometimes that means replacing the transmission. But that certainly would be worth doing some research on finding out if that's true.
So that's doable for those of us who own cars, trucks, or vans, is to check that out online.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Check it out online, or even call the dealership. The manufacturer of the dealership and where you bought the vehicle, and find out exactly what the warranty is. Oftentimes, Denny, when something like this is going on, if it's a common problem, if you call the service writer, they'll know exactly what you're talking about and exactly what it needs to be done in the process, even before the technician looks at it, because they've seen so many of them. And so there's a good chance that they'll know just what you're talking about. So it certainly would warrant a phone call.
All right. Very good. We need to take a quick break, Dan. When we come back, we'll pick up on more text questions. If you want to call in your car care question, keep in mind, Dan will leave us about 7:45, so don't wait. 651-989-9226 is the text number. It's also the phone number. 15 degrees right now in the Twin Cities, snow on the way, maybe an inch today, maybe 3 to 5 overnight. You stay with us here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Car Care Show. Danny Long here with Dan Burns, ASE Certified Technician. You'll find him at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Exactly where are you guys located? Well, I know, but tell everybody else.
Well, thanks for asking. We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, Lloyd's Automotive. .net, or give us a call as soon as this morning, 651-228-1316.
Very good. We'll get you Dan's number before he leaves us, which is going to be about 7:45 this morning. So if you have a car care question, call it in or text it in. Same number, 651-989-9226. Speaking of phones, Dan, I think Pat's calling in from Braham this morning. Pat, thanks for waiting. What is your question for Dan?
Okay, I had my brother's Dodge Ram pickup, but I do not know what year it is. He says it has two tanks in it, and the gas gauge doesn't work. How costly is that to get it fixed? He's in Arizona, and he's letting me use it because he wanted to store it here this winter. So I want to fix that for him. So I'm just wondering how expensive a job am I looking at?
Well, you know, it depends why the gas gauge isn't working. I'm not sure exactly how that's wired, but I suspect that there's a sending unit in each of the two tanks. And so if when you switch it between the two tanks, the gauge still does not work, it would surprise me if both sending units are bad. So that would make me think more it's in the wiring or in the gauge on the dash itself. And I have no idea what any of that would cost because there's just way too many possibilities as to what could be wrong with it. One thing that I can tell you is that if you wanted to bring it in and have it diagnosed, I'll bet you would spend between $100 and $150 to figure out what's going on with it and why the gauges aren't working. And what they would do is, one thing that they can do is hook up our computer to your vehicle and read there's different ways of checking different components, and we can eliminate some of the components in the process of checking it through the computer. And by doing so, we can eliminate, you know, things that might still work, things that are not working, and zero in on something. But I wonder if the problem is in the dash itself, and it may need to be taken out of the vehicle and sent in for repair.
But I think it might be a nice gesture at least to get it analyzed to
see
what they think for that money. All right, thanks, Pat. Appreciate that. Good luck with that. I promised a listener who was originally from Roseville, Minnesota, who tried to get in here last Saturday, who listens, picking up the show in Kansas, says this: my engine light check engine light was on my 2011 Ford Fusion. The manual says it was an emission system thing. I need to get checked. This has been on for about a month and a half, and of course I work from home now with the pandemic, so I didn't really think it was a driving issue. 2 days ago, the lights went off. So what does that mean? Something adjusted itself, or is there something I still need to get checked on? Thank you for that.
Yeah, well, that's a good question, and my advice would be wait until the check engine light comes on again. What happened was your emission system, and what the emission system is, or the evaporative system, perhaps, there's ways that the vehicle does self-tests to be sure that that stuff's all working. And if something's not working, if it fails a test, it will turn on your check engine light. And then if you continue driving it for a little while and it does the test one or two more times, and this time the test passes, then you know, it'll shut the light off. So I would wait and see if the light comes back on. If the light comes back on, you'll need to bring it in and have it checked. One example of something that could cause that to happen is if you have, for example, a catalytic converter that's right on the edge of efficiency and not doing a good job, where under certain conditions, when it does a self-test, it passes the test, but then over a period of time, at some point, it's not happy with the results because they're right on the edge, and then it will turn the check engine light on. So anyway, wait for the light to come back on. When the light comes back on, have the vehicle or bring the vehicle in and have it checked, and they'll be able to know exactly what to do about repairing that.
Very good. Here's a text, Dan. It says, a good friend of mine bought a 2013 Honda CRV. Is there anything they could do for maintenance on that CVT transmission?
Well, yes, you should do exactly what the manufacturer recommends. And there probably is a drain and refill procedure on that at certain mileage. And that should certainly be done. If it has not been done, or if you don't have the records and it's passed the first due date, then you should take it in and have that done. Honda's pretty sticky on changing all of their fluids on transmission and differential and transfer case and all that sort of stuff. And we've found that it's very important to do those. And also, if you do those, that's the cheapest way to maintain your vehicle, because then you don't end up with repairs that are very expensive. So not just on Hondas, but on any vehicle, do the maintenance services that the manufacturer recommends, and that will be the cheapest way for you to get through life with a vehicle.
This was an addendum I see later that Texter sent in, that this particular Honda has 80,000 miles on it. So there you go.
Right. So if it has not been changed, or if you don't know if it's been changed, that's beyond the mileage that it should have first been done, so you should do that.
I know we have to take a bottom-of-the-hour break. Keep in mind, Dan will be leaving us about 7:45 this morning. We'll have a look at that forecast, that snowy forecast. And I might mention, too, that if you have not heard, Larry King has passed away at the age of 87. We'll have further details on Larry King's passing on CBS News at the top of the hour. Stay with us here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Denny Long here, along with ASE certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Dan, we have a bunch of text questions that maybe we could do a little lightning round here before you take your leave. So let's see who's first. Can old spark plugs and spark plug wires affect the way the transmission shifts? How often should you replace the wires is the question.
Well, spark plugs and spark plug wires should be changed on a regular maintenance schedule. And all vehicles are different. There aren't very many vehicles that have spark plug wires anymore. That's kind of a technology that's gone by the wayside. But at any rate, they should be changed on a regular maintenance schedule. whatever the manufacturer recommends. And to answer the question about the transmission, will it affect the way the transmission shifts? My answer to that is it may, but more likely if you have an engine that's misfiring, it can sometimes feel like the transmission is shifting funny, but really it's the engine that's misfiring. So I'm not sure that it's the transmission that's shifting funny. More likely you're feeling the misfire in the engine. And if indeed you are feeling a misfire in the engine, you should absolutely change the spark plugs and spark plug wires, because that could very well be what's causing it.
Yeah, interesting. Here's a 2014 Jeep Grand Cherokee, 105,000 miles. The Jeep dealer, texter, says my front driver's side strut is leaking. Question is, do I have to replace both struts now? The Jeep seems to drive fine with no obvious problems.
Yeah, you should, yes. In the short term, it's fine. It did not just start leaking today. It's been leaking for a while, and you know, you didn't know it. Somebody just happened to see it now. So it does not happen or need to be fixed today or tomorrow. But yes, it does need to be replaced. And when you do that, you do need to replace both of them. You can't replace just one.
Okay. Good morning. This texter says, my son's Honda Civic's tires are sunk into ice on a side street. He is stuck. There is a metal toe loop in the back of the car under the rear bumper. Any advice on trying to pull it out using a nylon toe strap?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. You're going to... That's... I would do some chipping and maybe put some salt around them or whatever. But if it's significantly frozen where the car won't get itself out of the hole, then I think you need to get it freed a little bit. Don't just use more force pulling on it, because I'm afraid you're going to break something.
Yeah.
So, if the car won't get itself out, don't give it more power. Just do something to get the ice away from the wheel, and then let the car pull itself out.
Wow. All right, let's see who's next here. 2014 Chevrolet Malibu, the defrost vent stopped opening. All the other vents work properly, except for the defrost vent. What could be the problem?
Well, that system is controlled with a bunch of little servo motors that move doors, and that's how it controls where the air blows and how warm the air blows with these little electric motors. If you're in my shop, I can hook up my computer to your car and watch all those motors move and know if one of them is moving or not. And in fact, if one of them isn't moving properly, there might be a diagnostic code stored in the heating and air conditioning computer. But at any rate, it's not moving like it's supposed to, and somebody's going to need to determine why. Either that little electric motor has failed and it's not moving, or it is moving and the plastic door inside the heater box has broken. And if that's the case, that would need to be fixed too. But I guess the short answer would be, if you bring that in, somebody will very quickly be able to determine what's causing the problem and know what to do to fix it.
Okay. Dan, we have a couple minutes to go. Here's a 2003 GMC Envoy. Just the past day or so, the texter says the truck sputters, especially when I start it and when I'm driving. It doesn't respond normally until, it seems, till the truck warms up, has 250,000 miles on it. It's had a good run. Is it worth fixing?
Well, yeah. One of the first questions today was that trucks really retain their value. So it's probably worth more than you think that it is, even though it's got 250,000 miles on it. But at any rate, I would certainly take a run at it, a first round, and see if maybe for not too much money, you can get it fixed. Maybe it's just some tune-up related stuff that wouldn't cost too much. And so I think it's certainly worth exploring the possibility of having it diagnosed and getting a good estimate on what it would cost to repair it.
Let's do a real quick one, quick question, quick answer. Here is a 2019 GMC half-ton anti-slip rear end, 38,000 miles. When backing up and shifting into drive, there is often a lag on the transmission rear end engaging to go forward. Dealer says it's not an issue. Should I be concerned or push back on the dealer?
No, I agree with that, that it probably is not a concern. It's probably just a, you know, it. When you shift from forward to reverse or from one gear to another, there's solenoids and things in the transmission that move. And the reason that they move is because they redirect fluid into different spots. And that takes a little bit of time for that to happen. Mm. So if there's no code stored in the transmission, and I'm sure they check for that, and if that's the only symptoms you're experiencing, I think that's probably normal and fine.
Dan, we have to run. Thank you so much for your help, as usual. How do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's?
Well, come on over. We are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give a call as soon as this morning at 651-228-1316.
Excellent. Thanks again for your good help as usual, Dan. Let's talk next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Denny.
You bet. Dan Burns, Lloyd's Automotive. Jack Farrell is next here on CCO. Then get those lawn and garden questions ready for the Smart Garden Show. Stay with us.